Welcome to episode 162 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live January 24, 2020. This is a show about Office 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. This week, Microsoft announced the forceful installation of the Bing toolbar in Chrome when you install Office 365 Pro Plus, and, well, that gave us a topic for the week. We also spent a little time talking about an Office 365 to G Suite migration. We're coming up on 3 years, Scott. I have talked to you literally every week almost for 3 years.
Well, I would like to think you're a better person for it, but time will tell.
I sure am, I think. I don't know. I apparently have learned how to get the appropriate seat on a plane because of you.
Well,
the legroom.
See, it's all coming up aces now.
Although that only worked on one flight. The other flight, I still had legroom because I did the Comfort Plus, but I did not have the exit row.
It's all about the status thing. They have a couple planes, like the 757s do have exit rows for Comfort Plus, but you got to book early and book often.
Yes, the 750s, the 757 was my second flight, and that one I did not get the exit row. The first one that I had the exit row in Comfort Plus was an Airbus. I can't remember which Airbus it was.
They got a bunch of those in the fleet too, but I usually, if I can sometimes, like I'll grab on those, I think it's the Airbuses, they have an exit row with two seats and then the row behind it has three seats. So it kind of has, if you're in that third seat on the window, that's the big one with tons and tons of legroom.
Yeah, where you could literally lay down on the floor.
Yep. So usually what I'll do is grab that seat if it's available and then turn off my upgrades and I'm all good. I don't even need to go into Comfort Plus at that point. Sitting in the back of the plane sometimes is not the end of the world.
Nope. It is not. But yeah, it was nice. And because I was just gone for a night, I packed everything in a backpack and I didn't have a rollerboard, so I could throw my backpack up above and stick my legs under the seat in front of me. And it was great.
Well, and now you're back.
And now I am back and I am barely awake. I got a few hours of sleep.
Well, good.
I rolled in like 2 a.m. this morning and slept for a few hours before my kids woke me up because they were excited I was home.
Now you know how I feel most of the time you talk to me. But
what, excited? That
you get to sleep, yeah.
You get to talk to me or see me?
When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudit.
Okay, so you know what's not so exciting?
Malware? Microsoft?
What?
Bing? Search? Huh? What?
Bing? Huh? Use Bing now.
No, use Microsoft Search in Bing and Office 365 Pro Plus, whether you want to or not.
I don't even know where to start with this one. People may have already heard so much about this, they're tired of hearing about it. Chances are, so we have a decent track record, right? We've ranted about Partner, the IUR.
Yep.
And they rolled that back. We ranted about, well, there was something else we ranted about and they rolled back. I had it yesterday and then I didn't sleep, so it's gone now. There was something else we ranted about and they rolled back. Oh, the Power Platform stuff of self-service Power Platform. And they technically didn't roll it back, but they gave us a control to turn it off.
That they did.
So now...
I was going to say, yeah. So now
we're going to rant about forcing a forceful install of plugins on third-party browsers.
I'm amazed they're getting away with this one. This is like... This seems like it goes against a lot of Google's rules for Chrome as a platform and even for Chromium and kind of sideloading extensions. And whew.
Do you really think they're going to get away with this?
I don't know. I mean,
should we say what this is in case someone actually hasn't heard about this?
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about it a little. Just a little.
All right. So this is Microsoft's recent announcement that starting with build 2002, which... This was really funny. I saw a bunch of confusion out there because people thought we were referring to, or people thought other people in Twitter and stuff were referring to the year 2002 because this is something that would have happened in 2002.
Yes, it would have. So
this is not the year 2002, but this is the build number 2002 for Office Pro Plus is now going to forcefully install the Bing add-in into both Chrome and Firefox, which will default your search engine to use Bing, and you have to send an arm and a leg back to Microsoft in order to actually turn that off and switch back to Google.
That's pretty close to what it is.
Okay, so the arm and the leg part is about the only part that's not truly accurate. But in order to turn it off, you need to customize your Office install using ODT, or you need to push out a change with GPO, which I'm assuming also means you could change your registry. However, I have also seen stuff, and I don't know if you've confirmed this. I haven't dug around enough to be able to confirm this, that if this isn't done with ODT or GPO, and you just kind of go in and backdoor it, the next update of Pro Plus will undo all your changes and put the plugin right back in.
Yes. Well, I don't know. We'll have to see when this one comes out. It's basically Microsoft doing shady, malware-ish type things. So anytime you have a default opt-in rather than, hey, I'm opted out by default and I get to choose to opt in because here's some nice new functionality I want, it just screams of desperation and really weird things. So you can do a registry key. That is a way that you can make this happen as well to prevent the installation of this thing. You can also remove the extension after it's put in, but then, like you said, it's not clear what's going to happen on the next update. So like if you're in the monthly channel, you're getting updates once a month. And if you're on, you know, semi-annual, you're still going to eventually have to get an update for Office and effectively be on those latest bits of it. So this one's really kind of, it's annoying. So if you know how to prevent it, you're okay. You know, if you're in an enterprise and your domain joined and you've already got the latest ADMX templates, because now here's the thing, it's not just in the current Office ADMX templates. You're going to have to go and load the newest ADMX in for Office Pro Plus and then figure out what is actually different in there besides just this Microsoft search in Bing with Office 365 Pro Plus key, right? So there's validation and all sorts of stuff that needs to occur there, but you can go ahead and shut it down. Or if you do Intune, you can shut it down. There's ways to make all that stuff happen. So that's great if you're an enterprise and your domain joined or you have the world set up in the right way. We talked about the Office policy service and kind of that cloud policy service that exists for Office. Yeah, this setting's not in there.
Isn't it? I was going to ask if you dug into that yet because I was teaching all day yesterday and didn't dig into it.
Well, I dumped them and it's not in there right now, at least in the tenants that I have access to. Maybe because it's reliant on this new ADMX coming out. Maybe they're eventually going to load it in there. But again, not everybody is doing cloud policy either. I think really one of the crappiest things about this is not so much the way it impacts businesses who are set up to prevent it. Like, yes, it's one more thing that you potentially have to go and configure in your environment and okay, whatever.
Right. A lot of enterprises are in a place where it's not hard for them to do this. They're running GPOs, they're running ADMX templates, they're using ODT. The big enterprises, this probably doesn't affect too much.
Yeah, they will figure all of that out. Now, the issue becomes, even if they figure it out for their enterprise, well, there's still things like home rights. You have that whole 1-to-5 licensing thing for Office, where, you know, if my employer, I have my organization ID, they give me an Office license, I can certainly go ahead and run Office at work. I can also install it at home if they've left that flag open to me. So I can run it, and that is one of my, you know, my home installation is one of my 5 licenses for multi-device use with Office. And unless you're doing cloud policy, which doesn't have this.
At home, you don't have GPOs.
I understand. So at home, this is going to come across in a really crappy way because all of a sudden you're going to have this really weird functionality in there. And the problem with it, so, I mean, I could go on about this one all day because it's really kind of, it's just so annoying. So
you can say scummy. I would borderline put it as scummy.
Yeah.
I put dumb on Twitter, but it's like a scummy slime bag move. Like, it really does take me back to the 90s and the 2000s when you go install software and all of a sudden you have like 10 different browser add-ins and toolbars from Lyco. I think Lyco's had one, and Yahoo, and all these other ones that they literally were malware, and you were like, these companies are so annoying that they keep slipping all these toolbars into my browser and hijacking it.
Yeah, it's just, but the other thing is, again, this is, I think, part of that culture of having MVPs, so minimally viable products that are not really viable, but they are certainly minimal. And one could argue that they're barely a product in the case of something like this extension. Like things like this, it's coming out in mid-February. So as of today, we're at January 24th while we're recording. So let's assume like 2 more weeks. They don't even have the final UI of it nailed down. So they're just giving you best guess assumptions at what it's going to look like, what the impact to your users are going to be. So as of today, the best you could do is go into docs.microsoft or into the roadmap articles and pull a screenshot of what is a mock-up of the way it might look. So you can't even warn your users ahead of time of, hey, this is exactly what it's going to look like. Go into Snagit or Greenshot or whatever it is, put all the red boxes around it and the arrows and tell people how to turn it off if it does impact them. It's just rough. And I think maybe, you know, one thing we didn't mention, this is an extension for Chrome. We're not talking about an extension that's automatically going to be applied into Microsoft's new browser, like the Edge based on Chromium. That would certainly be one thing. And that would still be scummy and malware-ish and not good. But this is going to impact an installation of another browser that isn't even the Microsoft one. So if you have Edge installed, awesome. Who knows? It doesn't even talk about what it's going to do to Edge. But this is going to be injected as an extension into Chrome.
I can't imagine this actually working, that Google wouldn't throw fits about this and put something in there to block them. And I don't know. The other group of people, too, we talked about was, what about those SMBs, those 5, 10, 15, even 50-person companies? That there's a lot of 50-person companies that aren't doing GPOs, or maybe they're all remote and all they're using is Azure AD. And yeah, they could do ODT, but 50 people, everybody work remotely, you're using Azure AD. I bet 99% of those people are just having their users go out and click the install button in the browser and going and grabbing Pro Plus and installing it. This is going to affect all of them. And again, unless they bring it to the office policy soon and these SMBs start doing office policy, they really aren't even in any position to block this for all of their users either. It's just going to show up there and they're going to have to rethink that whole strategy of how do we get Office to our end users if we don't want this Bing extension installed in all of their Chrome browsers, if they're using Chrome.
Yes.
It's just a terrible experience.
It's kind of nuts. And really, this is, like you said, it's back to that old culture. Like, this is on somebody's scorecard, basically. Like, this, it's how it reads from the outside, is that somebody had a quota to greatly up the usage of Microsoft Search inside organizations that are eligible for it. And hey, this is a great way to do it, right? You just kind of jam it down people's throats.
Yeah. Everyone on your team is unique. So is SkillMeUp.com. Only SkillMeUp provides the bridge from fundamentals to certification paths to advanced skills to accelerate digital transformation with one subscription and 5 ways to learn. Start your free pilot today and supercharge your IT and Microsoft Azure skills by visiting skillmeup.com/pilot or click the link in the show notes below. So I sent this to a buddy of mine who's technical. He doesn't work in the tech industry, but he's most definitely technical and does tech stuff. And his first reaction was, this is a quote that I came up with, but I can literally see this happening in like a Microsoft conference room when they're talking about this, is like Microsoft just saying, hey, no one uses our search. We're going to force everyone to use it, make it painful for them to change it back to the thing way things were because we need to get our usage up. That's exactly how this feels. Oh, I don't have any words. I'm just going to keep saying blah, blah, because...
You know, if you're listening to this and it's still a thing that's coming and Microsoft hasn't canceled it, you really need to go and put your feedback in. So I'll make sure that I include links in the show notes to not only the roadmap ID, but also the official article on docs.ms. So go and leave a comment on there. That is totally valid.
How many comments are on there? I saw somewhere that the comment section for that just got lit up yesterday.
Yes, they've been cleaning it up, so it's it's getting there. There's only 10 on it right now.
Oh, okay.
There's currently, for like Office docs in general, 196 open comments. So I'll put the link to the issues page on there.
I think there's a user voice too. Have you seen the user voice link to reverse this?
So in regards to feedback, you could certainly put your feedback on a docs.ms article. For better or worse, it appears that Microsoft 100% ignores those. Like, I've been having a lot of my issues on docs closed lately by the product managers who own products and just saying, yeah, not going to happen, so forget about it, which isn't a great way to interact with your community, but whatever. I've seen that going on, you know, across a lot of the different PMs that are out there. So if you really want to drive it, there is a user voice that's open for it. So I'll put the link for that in there as well. You know, it's been out there for a couple days, like 2 days, and it's at 347 votes. So if you have votes to give, I recommend giving it just a few and getting it to where it needs to be.
I do have votes. I have not contributed my votes yet. Let me bump up this number to 350.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I have 3 votes to give.
I've given some votes, so.
Hey, Scott, how many accounts do you have?
not that many. So that's another way to do it. Or there is also an Office 365 Pro Plus deployment insiders. If you've ever been involved with that, that is another way to go and give feedback. But that's not really user voice. That's just deployment insiders and kind of early release. I think the more you put it on user voice, probably the better off you are along the way.
Yeah, I think user voice is probably going to be the, if official feedback channels drive it outside of every news outlet picking this up or every tech news outlet picking this up and blasting Microsoft for it, I think user voice is probably your best bet.
Yep. I mean, this has been picked up by a couple places, right? The Verge has got it, and I think I saw
ZDNet,
it on...
ZDNet, I think, was one of the original ones, yeah.
ZDNet, the Redmond org, so like Tony Redmond and the Office 365 IT Pro stuff had it. So I think it's out there. They're aware. They've annoyed people. It's more, do they ride it out, or do they change kind of the approach to that? Because coming out in mid-February, it's also how late are you in that engineering cycle to push things through, because they had to line a lot of things up to make this happen.
this way.
You know, like when we say like go customize, again, your registry key or ODT, well, you're going to have to be on that latest ADMX for the GPO and the registry key. You're going to have to be on the latest version of ODT. So even if you've done ODT installations in the past, it's not like you can just go update your XML and hope it's going to work. You actually need to do that install with a known version or later of ODT as well. So it's, annoying.
It is. There was something else I was going to lead into too, related to a comment you had earlier, and I can't remember what it is anymore.
Man, we got to get you more coffee.
I am trying. I'm trying to drink a cup as I, as we record so I can get my brain functioning. I don't know what it was. I don't know. It's gone. Anyways, I just really hope they roll this back because I cannot see this. Oh, I remember what it was. I got something else we can talk about too. I had one client that liked this because they're trying to push everybody to Microsoft Search and they're like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. And then I listed out all the reasons why everybody else doesn't like it. And they're like, oh yeah, that's a good point. It goes back to the enterprise because they're an enterprise customer that want people using Microsoft Search and they already customize everybody's browser and our GPOs out the wazoo and all of that.
Yeah. So it would be totally different if this was
off by default
and opted out by default and you opt in, right? So for those customers that want to go that way, like yours, that's awesome. Hey, here's this great new feature. Here's what you do to turn it on and you adopt it and it lets you keep going.
Yes, here's the GPO policy to turn it on.
It's making the many suffer for the needs of the few. That's not cool.
Right. Well, and I think you have to have that. You have to make it like GPO driven or computer configuration driven and not portal driven, because I think you have to be really careful too when you start mucking around with home users' PCs. If it's driven out of the portal and it's like a toggle switch in your admin center, there's no good way to say only deploy this to the internal office computers. I don't want to hijack my user's home PC's search engine. So I think this really would have to be like a off by default, go add this registry or go turn the setting on in a GPO config in order to pull it down and make that change.
Yeah. Nobody would be talking about it if it was set up that way.
Nope. Okay. So also along client lines, remember how it was maybe 6 weeks ago, a couple months ago. Remember how Google made that claim that if Google Cloud is not bigger than Microsoft or Amazon in the next 2 years, they're getting out of cloud?
Yeah. There was an internal memo that was cycling around. Yeah.
That was cycling around about that. Well, so interesting conversation with an enterprise client the other day. All of a sudden, Google Cloud is offering enterprises G Suite free for the next 2 years.
Yeah. So G Suite is not Google Cloud. It's not part of GCP.
It's not GCP, but they were saying that it's coming out of the GCP. Like, I don't know how they're measuring it. It's coming from the GCP group at Google are the ones trying to sell it, at least to this enterprise customer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, more power to them. It's been a couple years, but I've done some weird Office 365 to G Suite migrations. There are customers that do it. I mean, I had one in the way back when that was like tens of thousands of seats going going the other way.
How did that go? Just because I have not done it. And this client is very apprehensive about doing it from the people that actually have to do it. It's coming from a higher level because they're seeing, I can get this for free for the next 2 years, or I can pay Microsoft X million numbers of dollars for the next 2 years. So it's totally a dollars driven thing.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they want IT to make the evaluation.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to spend a lot of money, right? It's not just the migration time. It's the downtime. It's the user training. It is driving new behaviors.
Right. There's a lot of
tooling changes. So yes, you can still use Outlook, but it's not going to be like Outlook with Exchange because it's going to be like Outlook with G Suite.
Yep.
And some of the limitations that come from being on a vendor that either fakes out Exchange APIs or you go to IMAP. What does it do for your clients on mobile? And then what's your cost once the free stuff runs out?
Right.
That's an interesting one. Because if you go to G Suite, does that mean you're going to give up all the other things that are in your Office licensing too? Because G Suite doesn't have equivalents for things like Planner. I can do email, I can do files, I can do docs, I can do things like that. But some of those additive pieces aren't there. If you've already rolled out Teams, what's your plan going to be there to move things forward and move things through? If you're going to move to G Suite and get away from Office, are you giving up all your Office licensing too? Because if you're maintaining your Office licensing and you're already in an e-license, like, what are you going to do? Just turn off the Exchange component? You can't do that because you're still using Teams. It's kind of like, it's a big mess.
As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information. Sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro.
Well, and that's what we're talking about. We're going through, they have some large plugins, integrations too, between SharePoint and some other third parties. And it's like, well, what do you do about those? And they literally just migrated off of Okta to use Azure AD for single sign-on for all their third-party apps. And now it's like, well, what do we do about that? and we end up just going right back to Okta. So it's very much in that evaluation phase, but everybody that like has the boots on the ground and is dealing with this every day is like, I don't see how this even works or how you can, to your point, how do you replace something like SharePoint when you have 2,000 team sites with document libraries and you have a bunch of files there, but you're also doing some stuff with workflows and records retention and all of that. How do you accurately portray all of the functional changes and the functionality gaps between something like doing all of that in SharePoint and moving it into Google Drive or Google Sites, I think is their website version of SharePoint.
Yeah, it's not.
Document management, it's like some, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's all to say it's different, right? So I think it's easy to look at dollars when you look at a user license side of things. Like, yeah, free is free. Like, it was nice that, you know, the salesperson took me out on the golf course and bought me drinks. That was great. But then there's that 6 months to 2 years of suffering that's going to come of having to do everything with the end user side of things and then paying the price for it all the way along. Like, what happens and what are the limitations?
Yeah. And it very well could take you 2 years. So by the time about the time your free runs out and you have to start paying for it is probably about the time you actually end up with everybody fully migrated. Because that is not, like, even thinking about it, I have not gone through, I've always gone from G Suite to Office 365. I've never tried to go back. It just sounds like a painful process.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to go with a third-party migration tool because you're not doing, like, PST imports, at least at scale, like you might within Microsoft's cloud, right? So you're going to have to find a bunch of ways to get that data over and move it across, which in most cases means that data is coming back to on-prem at some point and then getting pushed back unless you find, like, a good, like, cloud-to-cloud integrator, maybe, like a BitTitan or something like that. But then you've got all that licensing for the migration tooling. You've got to have somebody who is, you know, if you're big enough and it's critical enough, you got to have somebody who's an expert in not only that tooling, but G Suite and understands the ins and outs there. And oh man, it just sounds like a rough one.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I'll have to keep you updated on how that process goes over time.
Yeah. Let me know when it gets away from the whole, you know, dog sitting in the fire, this is fine, to the dog running away from the fire and saying, this is not fine.
Yeah. The ultimate goal is to convince powers that be that this is not fine and we will not do this because it is a very, very, very bad idea given the way that we use Office 365 and the whole cloud for that matter, because they're also using Azure. So they're using Azure, Office 365. Yeah. We just have to do a very good job convincing decision makers not to do it. So with that, I can go drink more coffee.
Yeah.
And maybe next week. So yesterday I was teaching the Power Platform Fundamentals. We keep saying we need to do this. Maybe next week. We were going to try to get into it today. Should we do a teaser? Next week, we'll talk about Power Platform Fundamentals. PL900 example.
Yeah, let's do it next week. Let's commit to it.
Yes, we are committed. Or we could just edit this out and change our minds. No, we are committed to it. We had some interesting discussions before this about that exam. So definitely some good stuff coming there for next week.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. Sounds good. Go enjoy your day, Scott. Have a good weekend. And we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Ben.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.